This episode is brought to you by the Canyon Speed Max. Written by world champions, the Speed Max is crafted from the highest grades of carbon and built with the finest components available. With 0% APR and HSA and FSA eligible, now is the perfect time to head over to canyon.com and get your bike shipped directly to you. Get your Speed Max today at www.canyon.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Slow Twitch podcast. My name's Kevin McKinnon. I am here today with our fellow Slow Twitcher, Ben Snyder McGrath, and yet another special guest. Good grief, we're just on a roll over the last little bit. She is from Austria, and she's, a three-time Olympian, Ironman champion, 70.3 race winner, came fifth in Kona at her Kona debut this past year and finished third in the Ironman Pro Series. Other than that, she really hasn't done anything. Lisa Pantero, hopefully I'm close on that one. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, thanks for having me. And you say it right, yeah, Pantero.
That's awesome. We're just in the midst of a monstrous Benism. He's down in Arizona, so we're basically booting him out of Canada now because he spent so much time down in some warm weather. We're in the midst of a big snowstorm. What is the weather like for you in Austria? I understand you live close to Klagenfurt.
Yeah, actually, it's like a lot of snow at the moment. It was snowing 2 days ago, so we have like maybe 30 centimeters of snow.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's very cold. So, but I love it when I'm home that I see the snow because I'm often going on a training camp to disappear the cold. But when I'm home, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm not sure how many of, you know, sort of long distance folks will be super familiar with your career. I was looking back and you've been doing tries for a long time. You were junior champion, European junior champ back in 2009 and Austrian junior champion in 2010. And so, like, one, how did you get into tries and triathlon? And did you do other stuff before you got into it? It seems like you must have been pretty young.
Yeah, I started with triathlon with the age of 15. And okay. Yeah, I was like a swimmer before. It sounds strange because my swimming is not really my best right now, but that time I was very talented. But with the age of 11, I had a big crash. I fall from a horse. So I broke everything what I can broke in my left arm. So from that on, it was just therapy anymore, the swimming, and not like focus, like to go fast. And so for me, I really liked endurance sport. I like just sport at all. So I just looked for a new challenge. And I always was watching the Ironman Austria, very close to my hometown. And I was thinking, yeah, one day I want to do a triathlon too. So I just started them with aquathlons. And I won more or less all of them what I was doing. So I think I was very good in it. And I don't know. But like with 15, I was like, okay, then it's time to try my first triathlon. So I rented a way too big bike and I went out there. It was a 300 meter swim. 330K bike and a 7K run. So it was actually very long for a first triathlon. And, but I had so much fun. So I was like, first step was like getting my own bike after that. And from that on, I moved on very fast because just a year after I got part of the National Federation, raced my first European Cups, and it didn't take long until I won my first European Cup. And with 19, I was in my first Olympic circle, and that's where I started to get a professional triathlete.
I know Ben has some questions about the Olympics and all that stuff, but so was that first triathlon in Klagenfurt? Like, you know, I know they have in addition to the Ironman races, it seems to be a very active triathlon community in Klagenfurt.
Yeah, like one of my first aquathlons was actually like the Iron Kids. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I raced that. But triathlon, it was like close to Klagenfurt. It was called Gürselstorf Triathlon. It's like a triathlon which takes place since many, many years. And people told me about it. It was like running in the woods. And it was just like more off-road triathlon. Yeah.
Nice. And so when were the Olympics in your... you know, in your sights from the start when you got into triathlon, started racing seriously, or did you kind of grow into the sport and then think, oh, I'm pretty good at this. I could go for something big. When did you start planning that?
I mean, the first time when I was thinking I really want to go to the Olympics, I remember I took like a tennis lesson in like 2004 when Kate Allen, the Austrian, she got Olympic champion. And I remember I was playing tennis and I saw the race was going on. So I stopped my tennis lesson because I was very bad in it, actually. It was not a sport I should like continue. So I went in and watched it and I was like, I really want to do this one day. But in that time I was like, okay, it was a dream, but I didn't even do triathlon that time. When I started with like Olympic distance in 2011, it was my first Olympic distance. And I really liked it. And in my first World Cup, I finished on the podium. And this was for me like the point with my coach that time. I said, okay, let's try to make it to Olympics, which was very hard because I only had 1 year to qualify. So it was a very hard time because I was still in school qualifying for the Olympics, so it was very stressful and I couldn't believe it, I make it in the end, like, but I was very exhausted going to the Olympics because I did a ton of races. But still I can say it was one of my coolest experience I ever had in triathlon so far, like, yeah, so I enjoyed 2 weeks full of Olympic spirit.
Yeah.
And then you, I mean, you know, you were in the short course world, Olympic world for 12 years and you go to a couple more Olympic games. And then end of 2024, you dip your toe into middle distance racing. And then obviously last year, Ironman racing. So was that always the plan to eventually climb up to the longer course stuff? Or when did that kind of enter your world?
For me, my dream, yeah, was then always the Olympics to execute a very good race there. So for me, I really like train just like for a good Olympic Games. So I really didn't have any like plans for like long distance racing for a long time. And so in 2016, when I think I had the best chance to have a very good Olympic result, I injured myself with a stress fracture 2 weeks before the race.
Oh, and wow.
So I didn't go, so I give the slot to another, like, Austrian woman. And I say, okay, let's try it again. So one more time. So I went to Tokyo, and I didn't have the race I wanted at all again. Say, okay, let's try it one more time. So I qualified for Paris, and after that, like, it was so disappointing experience that I just had a really deep conversation just with myself, and I was saying, no, it's time to make a change. And this is where I just decided to try long distance racing, but I didn't want it to make any stress on me. I just wanted to have fun and find joy again in triathlon. And yeah, and I think I really did this year.
So it looks like you sort of dabbled before, you know, it seems like the big jump to long distance racing came last year after Paris, but you sort of dabbled with it a little bit. So after Tokyo, were you know, a little more serious about or thinking a bit more about moving up to the longer distances?
I mean, after Tokyo, first I really needed a big break. Like, I didn't do triathlon for like at least 3 to 4 weeks. I say, okay, no, I need a little break. And this is when I just thinking, okay, because the next race was, I remember, it was Tel Amsee, my home race. And I was like, okay, I went there without really training. And I just say, okay, let's do it. And I really had fun doing it. So I was like, okay, let's keep training for it. Like, I didn't do any like time trial on a time trial bike at all before. So I focused more using my time trial bike. And then I went to Ironman 70.3 Cozumel. And I won that race. And I said, okay, let's train more. And I just made like really, really like last minute decision that I want to do an Ironman. Because I really want to qualify for Kona the year after, like without any doing an Ironman so far. But I really like Cozumel, and I always call it almost my second home. I really enjoy the island. And so I went there for my first Ironman with like 3 weeks of preparation. And yeah. Without any goals, okay, I say I want to qualify, but if not, I just want to make an experience on this distance. And it turned out very well. And from that on, I was thinking, okay, I really want to have a focus and take it more serious. Yeah, and that's what I took over the winter then.
And what is it, you know, what is it that you love so much about Cozumel? You know, obviously, you know, the 70.3 Cozumel, you come second in your first Ironman in Cozumel. You win Ironman. We're jumping ahead a bit, but, you know, Cozumel, you win last year. You certainly love that island.
I don't know, because I also raced there when long time ago, European Cup, World Cups, and I was there already 2 times on the podium for a sprint World Cup. And I always loved coming back to this island. And yeah, I don't know. It's like over the time, I met so many friendly people there, like I know almost the whole island, so I feel just like home, yeah.
And do you feel like, so obviously huge success moving up to longer distance, like, you know, not too many people end up, you know, winning. Well, you had done some 70.3s before you won Cozumel, obviously, but when you look at it now, do you kind of wish, why didn't I move up after Rio? Or, you know, what, you know, do you sort of look back and go, oh, man, I wish I had moved up a little bit quicker?
People ask me this question a lot of times, because my strength was like always in the last years, especially the bike, and because my swim was weak. And it doesn't matter sometimes in short distance if you have a strong bike, if your swim is too weak. So, right. But I didn't want it to give up. Like I had this Olympic dream where I wanted to have a good race. So for me, just okay, I just wanted to try it. And now in this year, I say, should I have changed earlier or not? Because I really enjoy it. But who knows? Maybe if I would have changed earlier, I would not do it anymore. I don't know, you know, like just enjoy the moment and I enjoy how the season went. So maybe I made everything right.
Well, and maybe do you think that, you know, the fact that you did the short course stuff that makes you a better long distance athlete?
Maybe yes, maybe no. I think what I really learned like in the last years, like short course distance racing is very tactic racing. Like it's not just focusing on yourself. And I think also like long distance racing changed a little bit. It's not just focusing just on yourself. It's you have to have a look around what's happening around you. And I think this is what helps me a lot also on the long course right now. Yeah.
Right. And just, you know, not to beat this Olympic thing too much to death. But do you kind of look back and go, like, Olympic distance or being at the Olympics is such a challenge for you just because of the swimming, right? Like, if you're not in that lead group, you know, it's really hard to be a factor at the Olympics, especially.
Yeah, exactly. And this was my problem all Olympics. wasn't in this main pack. And I mean, in my last Olympics in Paris, I was there with Solveig Lofset in the same pack. And we just fight for everything that we didn't get lap. So this was our goal. And right now, like we are in Kona, both in the top five. I mean, she won the race. And she chose again, like, yeah, that it's completely different racing. So if you lose these 5 seconds on the swim, you can be out from the race. And but you don't really want to accept this for a long time. That is really the case. But I'm happy that I finally made the decision for myself to just leave short course behind and make a new adventure for myself. Yeah.
Right.
And so what you touched on the different types of racing and did you approach 70.3s much differently than the short course racing? And then same when you jumped to Ironman, did you approach those with a different strategy? Or are you kind of just, head down, do your race and then, see where you end up kind of?
I mean, last year I went into the season, I didn't even know which races I want to do. Like, I had no idea. I got the wild card for T100 and like just 3 weeks before Singapore, I said, okay, let's do that. And then my boyfriend was in Texas. I said, okay, why not doing Ironman Texas? And I raced well. So I somehow did both races, like T100 and Pro Series. So for me, I didn't even know, because I'm so new in this distance. I had just to find out this year, like a strategy or what I can do to be successful. So I tried to not go with big plans in a race. And I just, because actually when I had a plan, it never turned out how I was wanting to turn out. So I always had to go back to my plan B, C, D. So yeah. So maybe now with more racing, I can make more plans or strategies. But right now I didn't really have them.
How has it been moving? I'm guessing when you were, racing at the Olympics and for Austria and stuff, you were part of the Austrian team and part of that whole thing. Once you move to long distance racing, the Austrian Federation isn't calling you up and saying, hey, we're going to take you to this training camp. How has it been making that transition from being part of a federation to doing everything on your own? I'm guessing that's how you have to do it all now.
Yeah, I mean, I was always like part of the army as well. From my first Olympic qualification, I got part of the army. So that's how I could just call like triathlon my job and just focus on training and racing. And with the end of my triathlon short distance career, I didn't have the support from the army anymore. And now also not from the federation anymore. And I, of course, I was a little scared of it, but this is what I really enjoyed last year. And I think that's made me also strong, that I just can race for myself and not for anyone else. So if I have a bad race, I just have to handle it. And I really, really liked that last year. I felt very free in racing.
Yeah. Do you have, I'm guessing you have a coach, do you have an agent, or are you taking care of all of that stuff yourself in terms of sponsorship and all of that kind of thing?
Like last year, I took care of everything on my own. Like, I have a coach, but he just doing my training, and the rest I just did with my mom. Like, she's helping me a lot. I have my own triathlon club. I own that. So I just did everything on my own. But this year I got a little help from my boyfriend. We just do it together with Elliot. So it was very helpful, because, I mean, after this year, there was, of course, some more stuff to do with sponsors than the year before. And I couldn't do this all on my own anymore.
Right. Yeah, no, I was sort of wondering how that whole process worked.
And so you had talked about, you jump into Texas and you're just going to see how it goes, because the strategy kind of eludes you at times, things don't go to plan. You did a lot of races last year, a lot of Ironmans. Did you just think, because I mean, you had qualified for Kona already, but did you feel like you wanted to do multiple just to kind of get into that groove and find your way before going to Kona?
I mean, after Texas, with my third place, I decided I want to do the Pro Series. So I knew I have to do at least one more Ironman and the World Champs. So that's already three Ironmans. And going into the season, I was thinking I'm going to maybe make two Ironmans. I looked at the Pro Series and said, no way, I can't do that. I can't do three Ironmans and two half. No, I can't. But then I looked in the schedule and I was like, okay, maybe it makes easy. Let's try Lake Placid because I can have a 2 months break before that after Aix-en-Provence. And after that, it was the World Champs. And I went very tired to Kona, I need to say. And it wasn't my plan because I wanted to go prepared and healthy to Kona. And this made me very nervous before the race. It was the first race actually when I was like nervous before and I felt like not really ready for it. And yeah, but after Kona, I did another Ironman and I'm still asking myself how I did it. I had no idea because I just did like 4 weeks without any training. Mentally, I was just tired. And I went to Dubai to race the T100 race. I was in Cozumel after Kona. So I went from Cozumel to Dubai for racing. Right after the race, I went back to Cozumel. And I was like, wow, I don't know what happened this week. I feel good. So I was like, okay, let's give it a try. And I just called my mom the day before Cozumel Ironman. And I told her, no, mom, no worries. I won't race, really. I just do one lap and I go out from the race and make holidays. And when I heard like after 60K I have like 8 minutes in front of the next girl, I was like, oh no, I should keep going. And I just keep going and I felt very good. So I finished the race, I won my first Ironman, and I actually just realized I did 4 Ironmans. And I don't know how I did it. I mean, maybe because I didn't take it too serious or season. I never went to race and I say, I want to win or I want to get second or third. I just say, I just want to have for myself another good race and just enjoy it. I always took a week holidays after every Ironman, and every Ironman I didn't train for 7 to 10 days. And maybe that helped me to like recharge and to just get motivated again. I don't know. Like, sometimes I was standing on that start line for the next race and I didn't feel any ready. And as soon as the shoot from the start gun went, I felt ready to race again. Yeah.
So you had the 4 Ironmans or 4 full distance races. Did I also see that you were, that like you started it in Klagenfurt at the Ironman Austria? Were you at that race as well?
I was Ironman Austria. It was my plan. We always remember my first Ironman. So it was always my plan. If I race an Ironman, my full Ironman, it's going to be my first. But it turned out it was always a man pro man. So,
oh, okay. So
yeah, so that's why I was racing Cozumel. So I say, okay, if Ironman Austria is not a pro woman race, I'm going to do Ironman Cozumel earlier.
Yeah.
So, okay. And last year I went just to watch because my boyfriend was racing and I just did the swim part.
Okay, so that, yeah, so I was looking on the results and I see a DNF and swim time. And I was like, what all happened there? One would think this would be the biggest race of the year for you.
No, the plan was that I would be first out of the water with all the age groupers, but I could not make it. Because this week I trained a lot and I jumped in and said, okay, swimming is always possible. But after 500 meters, I just was thinking, I can't even do the swim that day. Yeah. So, yeah, it was nice. So at least I got the experience from the swimming in Klagenfurt. So hopefully one day I can do the full one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit, you had some experience at T100 stuff, which in theory is the logical series for people who come from the Olympics, right? Like all the you've got so many of the Olympians, they jump up into T100. It's crazy fast swimming. It's small fields and all this stuff. But you had some, you know, you did four races, was it, with T100 this year, yeah, or something like that. But it seems like you've really gravitated more to the Ironman racing. Can you talk a little bit about the two different series and what you like or about one over the other?
I really, really wanted to race the T100, because I just always watching TV and I say, okay, I really want to do it one day. And when I was there, I really enjoyed the atmosphere a lot. But somehow I got a little bit like a deja vu from short distance racing, you know, with just little people and the strategy with the start and just the loops you always do. And my first race turned out very well. I mean, much better than I thought, with a second place in Singapore. Even so, I was very injured like the weeks before. I had like a tore in my quad muscle. So I couldn't run for like 3 weeks. So I went there and I mean, it was very hot, very humid. It was one of the hottest races I ever did and I really like it. So I think that was a good bonus for me. So I was thinking, yeah, I want to keep going at T100, but with the Ironman, I don't know. I just felt like more comfortable on the Ironman distance than on the T100 distance last year.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing is maybe because since 2 years, I have a little problem in training. I mean, also in racing then, to push my body to the full limit. I just experienced in the last 2 years. And we didn't know why. I just could not push like all out or like more. And you really need this for short distance and T100 races. I mean, finally, after 2 years, right now we could find out what is the problem. I don't want to talk too much about this now. I think maybe later in the season, because right now I want to focus on myself. And I just, I'm very happy that I can start from now. And like, I'm really looking forward for the future, because I think there's much more potential in myself, even Ironman racing, when I can like just push myself more. As well in training, because Ironman racing, you don't need to push yourself that much. I mean, you don't ever have to go on your limit. You always have to find your own rhythm, of course.
Okay.
And
yeah.
And I think that's why it very suited me last year. And but I just realized in 70.3 racing, I used to be a very, very fast runner. And it never satisfied me last year that I ran like a 122 or 123 in like a half distance. But I couldn't push. Even I felt like I was not a limit. I just couldn't push myself. So, yeah. So I think I got a lot of joy in the Ironman distance. And in the future, I mean, my biggest goal next year and my big focus is for sure Kona on World Champs next year. Yeah.
Did you, before you did an Ironman, did you think like, oh, I'm going to, did you have an inkling that you were going to like it as much as you did? Or were you kind of surprised you did it and then you were like, oh, I actually really, really love that?
I really looked forward for Kona because everyone says it's very hot. it's very challenging and I really like hot and challenging courses. Mm. Yeah. But I went there and it's hotter and more challenging than I thought. That's what I experienced during the races.
Yeah.
But with a top five, I don't know, like I didn't know what to expect, what is the shape, how other prepared. I knew that I didn't prepare only for this race and I didn't know if it's I have to do it or not. And I always thought like if I finish in top five, it's the best I can do. So I finished in the top five. But finishing that finish line in Kona, I just knew it was so much more into me. And just a week after, I say my focus for 2026 is Kona. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you have an idea of which races you'll be gearing, you know, racing at this year as you prepare for Kona?
For me, I have a really like slow start in the season because after my last races over Christmas and New Year time, I got very sick for 3 weeks, and it was the first time in 2 years. So I knew this season took a lot out from me, like more than I thought. So I'm still recovering from that, and I don't want to start too fast. So today I did my first 2 hour ride on the trainer since my last race 6 weeks ago. So I maybe start my season end of April in Texas if I feel ready for it. And I want to follow the Pro Series, but my really focus is Kona. And I don't know how my shape will be in the beginning of the season. And I don't want to start too fast. Yeah, so we will see.
Yeah. Do you think... Well, how do you deal with pressure? You've gotten, you know, I can't believe I'm asking somebody who's gone to the Olympics three times how they deal with pressure, because obviously there's lots in that. But, you know, last year, there were a lot of people talking about you as a potential, you know, top finisher. But to a large extent, you were kind of cruising a little below the radar. That's not going to happen anymore. Like you, the only time you haven't finished in the top three in an Ironman race is Kona, where you came fifth. So I don't think you get to roll into races anymore not being an outright favorite. How does that feel as you head into 2026?
Yeah, I didn't put any pressure on me, and I was very, very relaxed all year. As well, like in Kona, being there, like, I didn't expect it that I was that much on the radar, like that people see me that much on the front. So this was when I was there the first time, I started to think, oh, maybe I can have a good race there. But yeah, like it was every race, like people didn't see me to finish on the top. And I also get this impression, but I mean, I liked it that I'm going to be like a little bit outsider. And so I don't know how it's going to be next year. So maybe after like this year's racing, they have me more on the paper now and think I can race with the top people. but I really think I won't do any pressure on me again. And I just want to like may have a season again I have this year. I would be very, very happy with that. And I just want to make me mentally in a good place again, how I was this year. And I don't want to change this at all.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about what it's like, you know, for you, like in Kona, where you're, you know, a little bit behind out of the water. Well, everyone's behind Lucy Charles Barkley out of the water, but... but you know what, how do you kind of keep yourself motivated through the day to, you know, keep pushing? Cause for you, every time it's got to push hard on the bike, got to push hard on the run. Is that a little bit of a challenge sometimes? And, but it seems like you enjoy that or thrive on it.
Yeah. Because you say Kona, I mean, I hope they won't be that far out of the water behind, but no, for me, I mean, that's maybe a good thing. I'm coming from short distance because there every second counts. And now with Ironman, I just tell myself it's a long day. A lot of things can happen. The day is not over if you're like 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes behind. And this I was telling myself also in Kona, him coming out from the water. I mean, I was surrounded by other athletes where I was hoping they want to be behind me out of the water. But I really like, I just make my strategy, what I say before, I don't make it before. I just do it during the race. And for example, Kona, I just told myself, okay, if I want to change something, I have to do it straight after the swim because I think I'm very good in that, to change that. And I just tried to make a lot of pressure on the big group. And it turned out very well. So... yeah, so I always go in a race. I knew I have to push on the bike in the beginning, and this have been in Olympic distance or in short course, and it will never change, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, we've heard a lot of people from Kona talking about just the, you know, the craziness of that day, and like you're running and like all of a sudden you're up a different position, but you didn't pass someone, and now you're up another position, you didn't pass someone. What was that like for you mentally? You're on the run course and you are passing people, but also you're climbing the ranks without passing people. How did that hit you?
Yeah, I was already on the bike. Like, I had no idea which position I am. And I just saw like 40K in the bike. That was the big group. I said, oh, wow, there are a lot of athletes in front of me. So I passed them and I had no idea, because I had no support out on the course, in which position I am coming out from the bike. So I had no idea. So I started my bike. I had some people there, my family, where I got some information. And I mean, it changed a lot. Like, I mean, everyone knows the race this year in Kona, how much happened. I saw Lucy Charles sitting on the side, and then it was Taylor. And I mean, my goal was top five. And when Hannah Berry passed me at K, I think it was 32 or something, I lost just my hopes for a top five, because I wasn't feeling bad, but I think mentally I was so tired that I just gave up. And this was normal for me. I'm not giving up usually that fast, but I just gave up in my head. And that's what I said. And then finally I heard, you're fifth. And I said, how I can be fifth? You know, like, I don't understand that, you know? And then there's Adela, and yeah, and this is what I learned. And I mean, I always watched Kona in the last years, and I saw how much can happen. But I didn't know that it can happen also on the day when I'm going to race, that so much is happening. And yeah, I think, and this is what makes this race very, very special. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so have you already got, I seem to remember, was there some issues around, or you getting your qualifying slot in Cozumel? Are you all set for Kona for this year?
No, I raced Cozumel because I really wanted the slot early, because yeah. I didn't know how fast I would recover from the season, and I didn't want to make any pressure on me, like doing an Ironman anti Kona. So I said, okay, let's do Cozumel. Yeah, so I got my slot when I finished the race. I was thinking I will get it. And yeah, it was a little complicated. So finally, I didn't get my slot because I was too late. I mean, I wasn't too late. I was in the hotel and there were many people, and I didn't want it to go in the small room where the slot allocation was. So I stand outside and I thought it's Mexico and they start late. So I don't have a hurry. So I should not think this way, but yeah, it was a little bit also my mistake, and people, I was just standing in the row getting in this room. And when I heard some applause outside from the room, I said, oh no, something is going on in there. So I was running in, and I remember I saw in slow motion how the girl who finished in fifth, the Mexican, got her slot. And I said, oh no, I'm too late. Something was, they really started on time, oh, or maybe even no. Before that.
Oh no. And
so yeah, but let's see. Maybe I get a wild card, maybe not. I mean, I'm going to try to qualify again. I want to do an Ironman. And right. I'm sure we find a way that I can race in Kona. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Having done lots of roll downs myself as a race announcer, that's always my nightmare. I always start them off by saying, you know, everyone make sure you're here. If you can't hear me now, find a place where you can hear. So, oh,
yeah,
man,
I mean, really... that's what I was hoping too, because I watched my watch and it was 2 minutes after yeah. One, I said, when it started, and to keep everyone the slot, ask them. I mean, this takes a long of time, but they need to have a big rush. I don't know why. So,
yeah. Oh man. Yes. Well, as you say, and as I was saying, you've always finished on the podium and everywhere else you've gone. So hopefully that continues through 2026.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about training and not just what you've been doing now, what I'd be interested in is how training has changed for you over the years, from the times when you were racing, gearing up for the Olympics in 2012, 2016 and all that stuff. Yeah. And now, and now that you're sort of doing Ironman and long distance racing.
What I really changed is that I take recovery more serious because, I known as a short distance athlete, I was injured a lot of times. Okay. I knew I did a lot of things wrong. And I knew racing long course, it's getting more and more important to recover well, that I can just have another like good training day and just train smart and do full properly. And I just tried to change all these things and I think it turned out very well. And I prefer like having very long days, but on the other day, my rest days, maybe I go for a half an hour swim or something, but that's it. So very low days or very high intensity days or volume days. So, okay. Yeah.
So how many hours a week would you have been training when you were, gearing up for the Olympics in Tokyo or Paris? Like how many hours a day would you train then? And how many hours a day are you training now?
Otherwise, it didn't change at all. I train around 25 to 30 hours as a short distance athlete, and I'm not doing more now. So that's what I say. Wow. I'm doing more long ride, but I also have more resting. So a rest day. So I'm doing this more than before. And that was changed. So no, I'm not training 40 hours, 35 hours. I don't have in 1 week over, 31 hours last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how often do you do each sport? Like are you swimming 5-6 days a week how many workouts in each sport do you do every week?
What I really enjoy in like the long course now, for me swimming was always a priority. So I told myself I just relax a little bit more on the swim part and maybe go just 4 times per week in the water anymore. Okay. Maybe I have to change this again a little bit for next year. I really see. And biking takes the most time out of me because with running for also 4 times per week and cycling 5 times per week, I still need to be very careful with the running because this is where I always got injured. And I can count my long runs from last year. It was maybe 3 30K runs. That was all I had last year. And I mean, for Ironmans, for marathons in the race.
Yeah. I was going to say, there's 4 Ironmans in there. So there were 7 runs longer than 30K.
Yeah,
or 30K exactly. And longer.
Yeah. Now, and I didn't get injured. I mean, in the beginning of the year, but I know why it happened. And all the other, like the rest of the year, I even increased my running to 70K, and it's a lot for me. Like maybe for others it's not much, but for me it's a lot, and I'm very very happy with that.
So when you've talked about Kona being the big deal, what do you see yourself having to do to move to the top 3 in Kona to win Kona? Like what's the the magic, I don't know if there's magic. What's the training that's going to be required? What needs to happen for you to be able to win that race in Kona? Because I'm guessing that's the goal.
Yeah. There's always a little magic, I think, behind the luck on the day. I believe in that. But what I think for sure, you need to get very, very prepared on this island and not just take it as a race, as another race. Yeah, this is what I didn't do last year. And I knew what I have to change. I need to get fast on my run if I really want to get in the top 3 in Kona.
Yeah.
And this is what I really focusing on next year.
Yeah. Yeah, because you ran 2:55 in Lake Placid, But yeah. I'm not sure that you've had an Ironman where you've gone under 3 hours other than that one, right? So as you say, is that obviously yeah. 2:55 or quicker?
Yeah, I mean, 2:55, I was very happy with that. And if I could show that or faster in every Ironman, this would be like my goal next year. I know under 2:50, it would be a too big step. But if I can show between 2:50 or 2:55, I would be very, very happy with it. And I think you can be in the top three at Ironmans or maybe in the World Champs if you show that in Kona.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are there other things that you do, like, it, you know, because you're only training 25 to 31 hours a week, so you must have lots of time to do lots of other things in your life, right?
Yeah, like last year, I did all, I managed myself on my own, so there wasn't much time outside from training. I had a lot of work to do, and I also start like coaching. So I'm not just focusing on myself. I try to focus on other athletes and I really enjoy that part. So I'm as happy when they improve, when I improve. And I think that gives me also energy for me to get better.
Yeah. How many athletes are you coaching?
Right now it's 10. And I get a cooperation with my boyfriend's coaching business, Next Gen.
Okay.
So in total, we have around 60, 70. I don't know the number around yet, but we try to manage all of them together. So we want to grow and it's a big passion from both of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holy jumping. That is busy. That's a lot of athletes to take care of.
Yeah.
And sorry, Kevin.
No, go ahead.
I don't know if it was at the start of our call or the start of the recording, but you had said that you're in Austria right now, but you know you jet off to different places for training camps. So do you have plans to go somewhere, chase the warmer weather, and get some outdoor training in ahead of the race season?
Yeah, I booked the flight yesterday for Lanzarote. We go in 2 weeks, 4 2 weeks. So, I decided I need, like, not just indoor riding. I want to see someone. I mean, it was very sunny as well. Even it was snowing the last days, so it was very beautiful. But I need some warm weather and riding in short shorts. So, I go there. I go home and getting new TT bike and maybe get ready this for next season. And then probably go again to Gran Canaria for another camp. So, and then I'm not sure. Maybe I go to Texas to prepare there again. I did last year as well a Texas camp. So I go to Texas before Texas Ironman. That's all I'm doing. I have a lot of time at home this year.
Yeah.
But unusual.
I don't know. It sounds like Canary Islands a couple of times in Texas. I don't know if you can say all I'm doing. You've got a few things going on there.
I mean, last year I was for like 1.5 months in Cozumel. So I wasn't really home.
Oh, that is great. So a couple of things I just to round things out with, if we could. Ironman just announced today that they're moving to a 20-meter draft rule. Did you do you sort of think that helps you and athletes like yourself? Is that something that you think is a good move on their front?
When I heard about it, that it's discussion about this 20-meter rule, I really liked it, of course. I mean, I see myself as a strong rider and I think it can help me in racing. So I'm really happy that finally this 20-meter rule will be next year for all the Ironmans. And we will see if it will change the dynamic in the race. And I raced this year in T100 is 20 meters and I could feel like there's a difference for sure between 12 and 20 meters.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, and how do you, so I sort of always mess around, like, or I'm always wondering, because you've got the people who are out in front, you know, the Lucy Charles and, you know, the super fast swimmers who are always saying, oh, yeah, this is really helpful to us because it means that everyone behind aren't getting an advantage as they're trying to catch up. And then they have the people who, you know, are weaker swimmers who are like, oh, that big front group, they're all working together and that's why I can't catch up. You're sort of in the middle.
Yeah.
So why do you think it sort of is beneficial for you? Is it just that you're able to put more pressure on the group when you're riding?
Yeah, that's the hope. Like when there's a big group and with the 20 meters, I think like if you just don't have this profit from the 12 meters anymore, they probably stay with you, but they have to work much harder to stay. So I think groups will stay together, but you will see it on the run. It costs on them or not. So so I just hope that it's with you and me.
and it sort of in theory it should, right? Like, and especially if you can get down to that sub 255 or that 255 range, if everyone else is hurting and not able to, then that ideally would help.
Yeah, exactly. So I think no one really knows how it is going to turn out, but I think this is going to be the most effect on the running then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And last thing, we've been sort of asking everyone that we do an interview with if they have any favorite workouts that you kind of do on a regular basis. Is there anything that, you know, is your all-time favorite and your go-to workout through the year?
I really like prick sessions, especially run off the bike. And one session I really like is it's maybe sometimes 1 hour, 1 to 1.5 hour. And it's just a pace changing session between a half Ironman and the Ironman pace. And it depends how tired I am, how long I make the Ironman pace and the Ironman pace. But I really love to just get the changing in paces in my longer runs or off the runs. So yeah, I really like that. And I really like to follow my boyfriend on his hard ride. So to just stay for 2 hours on his reel. It's a session for me and for him. So it's great.
are you guys competitive? Like when do you sort of say to him, I don't understand, it's every Ironman I do, I come in the top three other than Kona. How hard could it be for you? I'm guessing his record isn't quite as strong.
No, he's very happy for me and he loves to help me where he can. And he celebrates all the success I have. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think we don't see us as very competitive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Certainly very healthy.
Yeah.
Well, unless you think of anything else that I've forgotten here, Ben,
No.
This has been so fantastic to chat with you, Lisa. Wonderful to see. I was looking as I was getting ready for this. I was looking back at some of the photos from Kona, and you had, I think, about the happiest smile of the people coming across the finish line, for sure. I'm looking forward to seeing more of those big smiles throughout 2026.
Yeah, thank you, and I hope also for more of these smiles and I keep going, like being happy, like crossing this finish line.
Awesome. She is Lisa Pertler. I'm Kevin McKinnon. We had Ben Snyder McGrath, and this has been our Slow Twitch podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to chatting with you all again next week.
This episode is brought to you by the Canyon Speed Max, written by world champions. The Speed Max is crafted from the highest grades of carbon and built with the finest components available, with 0% APR and HSA and FSA eligible. Now is the perfect time to head over to canyon.com and get your bike shipped directly to you. Get your Speedmax today at www.canyon.com.